welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right, so I mentioned earlier with the Palm Sunday thing, because I've got to be quick, so stop interrupting me. I've only got 14 minutes now. That just before Palm Sunday, or the day that obviously would become known as Palm Sunday, it wasn't known as Palm Sunday yet, the event that had happened that had really stirred the town, and probably is one of the main reasons that people had come to see, isn't just the fact that Jesus is leading the procession, but Lazarus is following him. Okay, so let's just have a quick look at the story of Lazarus and see what happened. I'm not going to read it all because we don't have normal length of time. But basically, Lazarus was Mary and Martha were three of Jesus' friends. And as we jump into this story, Mary and Martha are deeply upset because Lazarus has died. And Jesus has arrived on the scene. And when Mary saw Jesus waiting for her, because she's come to meet him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you'd been here with us, my brother would have not died." It's interesting, Mary's faith. Don't write Mary off with that statement. This is amazing. My brother would not have died if you'd been here. That's good faith. Who wants that kind of faith that says someone is dying, they're near death's door, but if Jesus is present, they're not going to die? That's good faith. Okay? But then, Jesus is going to bring a lifter to another point of faith here. But at the moment, he just sees how upset she is, and Martha he's already seen. He was deeply moved and distressed at the sight of Mary, and those who had followed her weeping with grief. "Where have you buried him?" he asked. "Come and we will show you, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept, and the people said, "Look how deeply he loved Lazarus." And yet there were some who questioned, "If he could open blind eyes, could he not have prevented Lazarus from dying?" So already, Mary has come, I believe, with faith. But these other people, they've got a kind of a faith that's already ventured into criticism. Well, he's healed all those other people. Surely he could have healed Lazarus. He was supposed to be a friend of Lazarus. And immediately, and it happens a lot today, especially on the internet, instead of responding with love and compassion, in comes suspicion and distrust of motives. Well, if he'd been here, it wouldn't have happened. He obviously isn't the genuine prophet that he says he's to be. He obviously isn't who he said to. They've got no evidence other than what they see be through their eyes. One, Mary is saying, "If you've been here," and it's just a sense of disappointment. These guys, it's a sense of criticism and almost beginning to take apart this person's character. Jesus was still deeply moved. And when he arrived at the tomb, which was in a cave, a stone had been placed across the entrance. And Jesus prays something very simple. I say prayer because something significant happens as a result. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." "But Lord," Martha protested, "by now there will be a terrible smell, for it is 4 days since he died and was buried." Martha is absolutely correct in what she says. It was not a warm place. It's not winter when this happens. It's a warm place. So that body has been in that tomb for 4 days. And in that environment, and not drinking lots of preservatives like we do, that body will be decaying and will be smelling. And so often, our reaction to what God gives us is, "That's going to be terrible. That's going to smell. That's going to be awful. How can that happen?" And just like Mary a minute ago, that Jesus with Martha as well is going to lift her to a different place and see that even when the natural stinks, Jesus can take you somewhere beyond that. He has an answer even when the smell is awful. Even when our own personal lives stink and we don't know if there's a way out, the answer is still Jesus. There's something beyond. The stone, if you like, has got to be rolled out the way. But the stone is the very thing that's stopping the smell coming out. And often, there's something in our lives, whether it's a way of walking, a way of understanding, or some pride, or some lack of humility or unwillingness to try something new. It's like a stone there in our life that needs to be rolled out the way. He said, but if that's rolled out the way, it's going to stink. Absolutely. But also, the death is going to become new life. Sometimes that very thing that is awful about us has to be exposed to the light as the stone rolls out the way so that we can come in to the new life that Jesus has. There is no shame in Jesus in having dark areas of our lives. There is no shame. That stone just needs rolling out the way. Otherwise, if the stone had not been rolled, the life could have not come out. You see? So the stone has got to be rolled out of the way. Don't be afraid to confront those areas of your life, and even to do it with people you trust or leaders, let it be exposed, because there's not going to be judgment. Because this is a house of acceptance by the grace of God. We worry because we feel that people might be like this here and judge us. It's so easy to see somebody do something. Maybe they're a preacher up here, and interpret it, oh, what an amazing person that is. They love Jesus. Or, well, they're rubbish. They're just pretending or something. You know, and it can be the person doing the same thing. It's just how you respond to that. But we need the light to shine so that we can see what is actually the truth. So that the truth can shine into the darkness of our hearts and our lives. I'm talking mostly about sin, but it also applies to areas of sickness. Never walk around denying that something is wrong with you. That's not God's plan. Yes, we confess God's healing over our lives, but we don't pretend I'm healed. If someone prays for you and nothing happens, you don't feel any different. Yes, you say, well, by the grace of God, I'm receiving something, but you don't pretend that you're not in pain anymore, because that's not truth. The light's got to shine in the darkness. So we can acknowledge my foot still hurts at the same time as we're saying, but by the grace of God, I'm healed. Okay? It's not a contradiction. It's taking hold of something. It's the same as if you take medicine. If you don't take the medicine, it's not going to have effect on you. You've got to take it for it to have its medical effect on you. You've got to take the word for it to have its effect on you. The Freedom in Christ course that Brian mentioned on Church News, it is a real rolling the stone out the way. Some people refuse to do Freedom in Christ because they don't want that exposure. But without the exposure, the death never comes to life. The real things never get dealt with in your life. There's stuff that needs dealing with. Not stuff that needs to be gossiped, but stuff that needs dealing with. It's a course where you do, you come together, you watch a video, you talk about it, and then in the middle of it all, there's a period called your freedom appointment, where you meet one-to-one or one-to-two, two people ministering, one person being ministered to, and you go through the truth together, and you really roll that stone out of the way, and you let the light of God's truth shine right into your life and deal with things once and for all. You can do it, yes, in a superfluous way. Sometimes I've done Freedom in Christ with people and you think we're both completely wasting our time. And you do it with somebody else and at the end of it they are transformed. And yet it's the same course. But it's to do with the attitude that we receive what's happening. Just as these guys say, he could have prevented Lazarus from dying. They're misinterpreting who Jesus is. They're coming short on his love. In the same way, we can misinterpret what's going on because of our lack of understanding or our lack of faith. So, as it says here, so. Oh, just before that, Jesus said to her, that's Martha, after she's just said there's going to be a terrible smell, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see God's glory? This is what's going to happen to you when the stone of sin and deception and things that go on in your life is rolled out the way and you let the truth in. It is scary. It could be smelly. But unless you do it, it will always be decay. So the stone was removed. At this point, I don't know who removed the stone. They're not even mentioned, But they are probably the greatest people of faith in the whole story. They don't pray, as far as we know. They don't get mentioned. They're not lifted up afterwards. But they are the ones that roll this stone out the way. They could have believed the people that said, well, he could have done something about this. They could have believed Martha who said, he's going to stink. He stinketh, Lord Death. In the King James Version. Maybe. But these guys just rolled the stone away. Do you want to see the power of God operate in people's lives? Well, Brian and Shona do. That's good. Work on the rest, Lord. Do you want to see miracles? Well, miracles are always one step beyond obedience. To see a miracle, you always do something in the natural before the miracle happens. That's just the way it works. That's why Jesus talked about your faith will release the miracle. It's because you usually have to just do something. In this case, they're literally rolling the stone out of the way. Joining the Freedom in Christ course. That is you believing for a miracle of change in your life. I'm going to roll that stone out the way. On one level, you can't see any difference. On one level, there's people saying it's going to smell. Or you can believe Jesus. And he said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see God's glory? I wonder if there was a bunch of guys around that stone pushing it, what they were actually saying. Maybe they were saying, this could be bad, this could smell. Or maybe they just believed Jesus there and then, we're going to see God's glory. And you can be, I'm certainly like this, you can be both of those people at the same time. But how do we know they believed? Because they rolled the stone. Sometimes faith for healing is just a question of responding to a call that's been given to walk to the front and to receive that healing. But you have to do something natural to receive the spiritual. It's not, we're not being unkind or cruel, we're just saying you've got to believe before you can receive. But it's not something that we can bash ourselves over the head with. It's not like, oh, I hate it when people say, well, if you just believe more, you would be healed. I mean, that's just cruel. But to a bunch of people sitting here right now, I'm just saying, roll the stone out of the way, whatever that may be. There'd be all sorts of things going through different people's minds right now. Let the Holy Spirit say, come on. Let God's glory shine in your life. Get that stone rolled out of the way so I can deal with the decay. And if you say that you've got no decay in you, well, you're missing what God's done. Because each day he's transforming us from glory to glory. There's always something. Sometimes big, sometimes small. Sometimes never, ever, ever touched. And sometimes you've tried to deal with it many times before. But you've still got to roll the stone out of the way. Then Jesus looked up towards heaven and prayed, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. I say this for the sake of all those standing here, that they might believe you've sent me. Jesus then shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the man who had died, what a sentence, the man who died came out with his hands and feet still wrapped in the strips of linen with the burial cloth around his face. He would have had to come out like this because the bodies were sort of all wrapped up. You know, it was the original mummy's tomb. He wasn't, Lazarus has come back from the dead. It came out. I don't know what was going through his head or what he had seen. But Jesus ordered, remove the grave clothes and let him walk freely. Come on. Church, that's what we do. Yes, hallelujah. We call the people out from their place of wherever they are and say, actually, Jesus has got something better for you. But you've got to face the stone. It might just be repentance, changing your mind about a lifestyle, changing about the way you live. And then you might come out and you might be hobbling and struggling. Or you might stroll straight out because you're just walking straight into freedom. I don't know if you walk like this, but... But the church then gets round you. You become part of a community. You become part of a group of people who care. Are we perfect? No. The Word of God says bear with one another quite wisely because we do let one another down. But we're learning to also love one another. as in Maundy Day, as in the command, love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus says, remove his grave clothes. He didn't remove the grave clothes. He told the others to do it. And that's why we as the church run things like Freedom in Christ. That's why we get alongside people. It's why we pray with people. It's why everyone has a ministry. Because we're all called to help take off that which restricts us to enable us to live in freedom. Every message here, by the grace of God, it's got the Holy Spirit running through it, that something impacts you so you can walk out with grave clothes removed. I hope that by the grace of God, 98% of the time, notice I didn't say 100, 98% of the time, you walk out this building feeling better because you heard God. Not because you heard great worship or you heard a preacher speak a message, but something from the word itself jumped out. I can't give you anything. It's just what's in that scripture. As I speak, it's got to be, I pray God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, this would be fresh word to people. That they would enable them to throw some grave clothes off so that they can leave at the end of the morning feeling better. Why 2%? Because sometimes there's 2% when we won't roll the stone away. And the best thing then is to go out feeling bad. Because otherwise you're never going to get that stone rolled out of the way. So sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. And you leave this building, I don't really feel that good. It's probably the Holy Spirit saying, you need to deal with that. He said, what's their fault? No, if you're leaving in that way, it's your responsibility. Yeah. Jesus is causing people to grow up. And take responsibility for their own feelings. Take responsibility for their own emotions. Not just blaming others. We live in a very blame culture. But there can be terrible things happen to us. But we can still, because we're in Jesus, we've been set free and we're a new creation, take responsibility to live in the freedom that he has given us. We don't have to give that freedom away to others that have done awful things to us. When you can't forgive someone, and goodness, the world is full of people who have been tragically abused and terrible things have happened to us. They've got every reason to say, I don't forgive that person. But forgiveness is keeping a stone in place and it's keeping the death on the inside. Forgiveness is a decision. You might still feel terrible feelings towards that person, but the decision begins by rolling that stone out of the way and say, I am going to let the light of Christ shine in on this situation. And by the grace of God, I will forgive that person. Sometimes it's a walk. And sometimes you wake up the next day with intense feelings of hatred rising up again. And justifiably. But don't let someone else keep you in a prison that they've put around you. That stone needs to be rolled out the way so that you can walk in freedom. For unforgiveness binds you to that person that caused the issue in the first place. It keeps that connection alive. Why Jesus says forgive one another, it's like a knife that goes, I'm cutting you off. I will not be bound to you for all my life for what you did. I am free from what others did to me because I am now a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. I will not allow my emotions to be dragged down by what others. Why let others control you? Why let others make you feel grumpy? Why are you giving that annoying, irritating person all that power and making you feel grumpy? I don't like you. You're causing me issues. You're doing this to me. And then you let them have power over you by being grumpy. So when someone is irritating and annoying and whatever, and I know there's worse than that. I'm just picking on this one. When they're irritating, annoying, you have to say, well, I'm in control of my life. In fact, Jesus is in control of my life. I'm not allowing you to make me grumpy. I choose to carry on rejoicing in God. I'm making that choice. I'm not letting you control me. So many people give away their control, give away their freedom. When Jesus died to give us freedom in the first place, free to be you, free to be who you are. Well, I've got to finish, but because it is Palm Sunday, let's read the bit. I'm in John, by the way. So Lazarus then joins this crowd that's marching into Jerusalem. On the following day, now let's go back one paragraph. A large number of Jewish people discovered that Jesus was there at Bethany, and so came not only to see him, but also to see Lazarus, who had raised from the dead. Did you know that was there? Did you know the crowd gathered to see Lazarus? Oh, well, it's not surprising, is it? The guy's come back from the dead. When miracles happen, people will gather. This caused the chief priest to plan to kill Lazarus as well as Jesus. Right, that's what religion does. It kills everything that's good. So you've got a man who's died, he's come back from the dead, it's so offended your religious sensibilities that the only answer is to kill it. And that's what happens often in people's lives. You get freedom in Christ. You get freedom. You start feeling happy. And people will tell you, you shouldn't feel happy. Remember what Frida did to you. You don't forgive her. She doesn't deserve it. It's not about Frida. It's about you. It's about you taking hold of what Jesus did. Don't allow the religious, don't allow the unforgiven, don't allow the miserable to determine whether you walk in freedom or not. You determine whether you walk in freedom. Not your friend, not your pastor, not your enemy, not your teacher, not your employer, not your boss, not the shopkeeper. You are in charge of your freedom if you've given your life to Jesus. He says, you're free. I'm dying for your freedom. Treasure it. Don't give it away. Oh, have my freedom. I hate you. So, the religious, their only answer to this wonderful miracle, kill it off quick, get back to normal. In this place, the normal is supernatural. This caused the chief of them, but this, because of the way, because of the way he was, I'm trying to be quick. This caused the chief priest to plan to kill Lazarus as well as Jesus, because of the way he was raised from the dead. Many Jews were turning to Jesus and putting their faith in him. Yeah, religious don't like people getting alive in God. It leads. Why didn't they like it? It's not that these men are evil. So why didn't they like it? Because they were losing control. Because in Jesus you find freedom. They were losing the control of religious law. Because they were now free in Christ. So the following day, the great crowd that had come to the city, here we are, we're at Palm Sunday, for the feast that heard Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem. Taking palm branches, they went out to meet him, shouting, "The Lord, our Saviour! Blessed is he who comes in the Lord's name! Blessed be Israel's King!" Literal word they were shouting, you've probably heard it, Hosanna. Jesus was riding on a young donkey, we mentioned why earlier, that had been provided for him, fulfilling what was written, "Daughter of Zion, do not fear. Look, your king comes seated on a young donkey." The disciples didn't understand what was happening at first, and it was only after Jesus had been glorified that these things that had been done to Jesus to fulfill what had been written prophetically about him. All of those that witnessed the way Jesus had called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to tell about what they'd seen. And many others, on hearing of such wonderful, miraculous sign, went out to greet Jesus. And then there's just a footnote. The Pharisees were exasperated even further. "We're getting nowhere," they said. "Look what's happening now. The whole world is turning to him." If we will make a decision to not be controlled by others, to not be controlled by our own emotions even, but to take hold of that freedom, that stone can be rolled out of the way. The light can shine right there in the tomb. The word of God can shine right in. And what is death in people's lives becomes life. And when there's a bunch of people full of life, the whole world, the Pharisees were right, the whole world will see it. That's our challenge. That's our message. That's what we have. 20 minutes. Not bad. Praise God. Right, so we're going to finish there. If, as we finish, you don't just want to respond to one of these guys here because you're going to sign up for a team, but you say, actually, this is me, this is my time, I want that freedom, I have never said yes to Jesus, you can do that today. Come and see me. I'm not on that list, so I haven't got a sign-up sheet. But I am ready, if you want to talk to me about becoming a Christian, saying yes to Jesus, and coming into this new life. Okay, you're going to see Brian for ministry team. But if you're also interested in freedom in Christ, I'm sure he'll be delighted to give you more details. Okay, but we'll be telling you more about it. It's coming up, as he said, next month. So, be blessed. Enjoy your coffee. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.